Bible study students, have everybody here in the auditorium this morning, and welcome all of you watching online, especially those of you who would like to be here today and cannot because of sickness or other problems that you're having watching online. We want to recognize you and pray for you this morning, as well as Brother David Apple is going to be having a surgery Tuesday in Paducah, and want to remember David in our prayers this morning. He had surgery. We'll see Tony here. He got some more weeks of therapy left. He found out more than what he thought he had. He'll be running the race by the time he gets through over there. So we've got to have Lewis here. He's been under the weather, had to go to the hospital. Meany's been sick. And we've got a lot of folks that are under the weather this morning.
Hallie just left on her way back to college, back to Boyce. So just remember her in the prayers, too.
All right, Hallie, for traveling mercy.
Yes, thank you.
Traveling back and pray for her. Not only traveling, but her studies, that she's really coming along and growing in the Lord. We're thankful for her and family. We send up as well. Thank you for praying for my granddaughter T and Isaiah and their family. They did sell the house.
Oh, yay!
So they bought a house, sold a house. So
that's awesome.
The Lord really blessed. He really did. And so we're very thankful for that as well. But let's go to the Lord in prayer again. Father, we just come before you in the mighty name of Jesus, thanking you to opportunity to be in the Lord's house on the Lord's day. We pray, Lord, that you bless as we study your word together this morning and open our minds and hearts to your word. We pray for those that would like to be here today and cannot, that you might do a healing work in their bodies. Those that are sick and hurting, those that are recovering from surgery, those that are getting ready to have surgery. Pray as she mentioned for Hallie as she travels, Lord, give traveling mercy. Bless as she continues her schooling there. Watch over and bless her family. We pray for all of our church family, Lord. Many that might be under the weather this morning, we don't even know about. We lift them up to you. We pray for all those that have had cancer, Lord. We pray that they be cancer free. And Lord, you continue to do a healing work in them. All of our shut-ins, Lord, Dwayne Goss and Diane, Bill and Evie Tanner, Steve and Sue Heining, and all them up to you, Miss Ray Kelly. Lord, and we pray for Carol Moorhead that's waiting on getting an implant in for her heart and for her back. And Lord, we just pray that that would happen soon. We thank you for Jesus and the life we have in him. Ask you to now bless as we study your word together and bless the worship time to follow. We ask it all in the name that is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and through his shed blood we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, nobody has guessed what I'm going to be teaching on this morning. I turn to 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to be teaching out of 1 and 2 Thessalonians. This morning I'm going to be teaching out of chapter 1. And I wanted to, as we're getting ready to go into transition and have a new pastor coming, Nate Martin, and I was thinking about the years that I've been here and those that even were here before me, and now with Trad being here and God bringing in a new pastor to follow him, I was thinking about how God has blessed our church. And I was thinking about, what would you do if I was to compare Waldo Baptist Church to another church, or which would I compare it to? And so that took me to 1 Thessalonians. And then I'm going to teach on that this morning. And I may do that, teach on a couple of things for the church this Sunday and next Sunday. But I'm going to be teaching out of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And so tonight I'm going to be teaching on the rapture of the church. And so I'm going to follow the same line of thought we had in Zechariah and go on through that as we continue on in prophecy. But also I wanted to teach on the church with Brother Nathan coming in. And how does God build a great church? And what are the characteristics of it? And so that's what I'm going to be teaching on this morning. So I'm going to begin reading in chapter 1, verse 1 in 1 Thessalonians. To the church of Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, first of all, notice he says, Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Now that's important. Every letter that Paul wrote to the churches, he always said, Paul, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, but not this church. He did not start it that way. He just simply said, Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Well, the reason he used his apostleship as he began his letter to the other church, it was a statement of authority. Because during that letter, whether it was to Corinthians or whoever it was, he knew he was writing a letter to make corrections, something that needed to be corrected within the church. When he writes to Thessalonica, he sees nothing wrong with the church at all. In fact, he talks about what a great church it is. And so he just says, Paul, Silas, and Timothy. And then he goes on to say, to the church of the Thessalonians, to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayer. We continue to remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that He has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with joy, given by the Holy Spirit, and so you became a model to all believers in Macedonia, Achaia, and the Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. All right. Now there are 10 characteristics that we're going to see that are mentioned here in this letter to the church of Thessalonica. And the first thing that we see as we look at this, he says in verse 3, we continually remember you before God and Father and your work produced by faith. So the first thing that we see as we look at this is he talks about their work produced by faith.
Got my mic on. Thank you. I thought you guys just liked me. You was waving at me. Yeah. Did you all notice I didn't have my mic on?
Yes.
Well, why didn't you say something then? All those people watching online are saying, can't hear a thing. Sorry about that, folks. All right. So we're in 1 Thessalonians. We're in chapter 1, and the first characteristic of the church that we see, of this great church, and I can say this positively, Waldo has always been a working church. We have always been a church that works together. And the thing that, and this word work, it means that you, it means a deed that has been accomplished, and it means that the work that you see is evidence of the salvation that you have. So when he talks about the work that is evident through faith of this church of Thessalonica, he's not just talking about how they work. He's not talking about their salvation. He's talking about that what he sees as he looks at that church is a church that is full of people that have been redeemed by the Spirit of God. And so that's really important, because there will be people that come into the church today and do every Sunday, thank God, that aren't part of the church. There'll be people that come in that haven't been saved yet. There'll be people come in that don't have a, quote, church, aren't part of a church body. And so you'll have all of those. But what you see within the church, those born again, baptized believers in Christ Jesus that are part of the local church, that have made up Waldo Baptist Church over the years and years and years, worked. And they worked together. They worked because of what Christ had done for them. And so in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says that we are saved by grace. By grace. We are saved by grace, not of by works. But then it goes on to say, we have been saved unto good works, which was ordained by God before. So, each of you that makes up Waldo Baptist Church as a family has a gift that God has given you. And each of us, using that gift, working together with the gifts that God has given us, is how God has brought this church to where it is today. I remember when I first came here, Martha Henley and her husband Mark, and I remember their family. I remember Norma Jean's family. I'm trying to think of the lady's name that always sat up here. Miss Lula. Yes, Miss Lula. I remember her. What was the lady's name that was that sat up here right on us? Huh? Claire. Yeah. I think she was almost blind. Yeah, she didn't see very well. And I think about people like that. And I think about how faithful they were all through the years. I think about Brother Clenny. You all remember Brother Clenny? They called him Sleepy. He had a lot of Chinese in him, and I don't know if Chinese people are that way, but he was. And he would get about halfway through the sermon, he would have dozed off. And I would yell at him, and I would say, "Hey, Brother Clenny," and he would pop up and wake up. And just like he never missed anything. But what a sweet man he was, and how he could pray. And I remember how he prayed. But I remember people like that. Remember the Brinkers. Remember Roy and Ed Douglas. Remember the Douglases, and how Don Geltner, who had the terrible injury, and Don and Janice and their family. I remember all of them, and I remember how they used to come and they used to work together, pray together, and enjoy what they were doing together. And to me, and we'll be seeing it here, but to me, that's what God does within a church. He brings people from wherever he can and wants to, and he brings them together to make up the body of Christ in that local church, and he brings them together to form his church in that area, in that location, whatever it might be. So we have all been saved to work. That's the first thing we see. And the second one goes right along with it, that we see. And what does he say? Your labor promoted by love. Hey, let me tell you something. If you serve in a church and you serve in a church family, you don't just work, you labor. Now the word labor has a little different meaning than work. Sometimes you work and it's not too hard, but when you labor, it gets hard. It gets hard. I remember all those revivals we had in past years, and I remember bringing in the power team those years, and I remember how, I mean, every single person in the church had to work. I mean, they didn't just have to work, they had to labor. I mean, we worked and labored together. Cooking, remember, thank you. Thank you. Mitzi, come here and sit by me right up here. Remember Ann, how she cooked for all the workers back there, you know, fed all the power team and the workers that came in, how the men worked in the parking lot, parking all those vehicles, because we had like 1,500 people here a night when we did that. And we fed all the workers and all the power team, and how we had people working everywhere, doing everything. And there was something that I always noticed when we worked together like that. It's just like these men building wheelchair ramps today. It was fun. We had a real joy. Because when we worked together and labored together, you know what we saw? We saw God work. We saw God work. And that's more important than anything else. And this church at Thessalonica. And let me say this. Richard Culver is following in the footsteps of a man named Ronnie Bradley. Remember all those years Ronnie Bradley would come out here on Wednesday at noon and cook for the church and everything? And I thank God for Richard and Tori and the Dodges that come out here now and work and help to get the meals ready every week, and Diana and different Bebby, different ones that help do all that. You say, well, they don't preach. No, but what they do is just as important. They're just as important as anyone in the church. And so it takes everybody working together. So he recognizes their work and their labor of love. Now, he says it's labor of love because the thing that motivates them to work, to labor, is the love of Jesus Christ. Because, you see, there are a couple of things here. First of all, they love the Lord. Believe me, you have to love the Lord to do what has to be done. You have to love the Lord. Secondly, you have to love the Lord's church or the Lord's people. You have to love one another to do what needs to be done. And when you see people that love the Lord and love the Lord's people, that is evidence that they truly are saved, that they've been born again, that their salvation is real, that what you're seeing is a redeemed church. And that's what he saw in Thessalonica, when he saw that there. All right, now then, we go to the third thing. And the third thing is, he says, not only your labor of love and your endurance inspired by hope. And your endurance inspired by hope. So we see two things here. We see endurance inspired by hope. Now, when we say the word hope as Christians, we're not talking about I hope so. We're talking about I know so. We're talking about something that we recognize as being real, that we look forward to, that has not happened yet. We have what is called an eternal hope, a living hope. Because our hope is all based on the one that resurrected from the dead on the third day. So the thing that helps us to endure, and that word endure, it doesn't just mean you keep on going. It means you keep on going under difficult circumstances. Let me tell you something. I have preached with kidney stones. We won't talk about the other things I've had. But I want you to know, every time I stepped into the pulpit, I felt better when I left than I did when I got there. And I think the same thing is true about serving the Lord. Every time we are faithful, God is more faithful. And we endure. That means that we work on through. It means that we keep on going. I always said, they said, well, preacher, what do you want to build a church? I said, well, I don't want no racehorses. Just jump up and run around the track and they're gone. I said, give me a plow horse. Now, I'm not saying you look like a plow horse, but give me a plow horse that puts one foot in front of the other one, 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 and just keeps on going. And God has always given us people like that. They didn't give up. They kept on going. Wasn't easy. Many times it's really difficult. Every family here has faced some kind of tragedy in their life. We've all lost loved ones. We've all lost people we care about. Many of you have been rejected by family because of what you believed in. You've gone through sickness. You've gone through heartache. You've gone through hard times. We all have. Together. Together. The thing that helps us endure, even in the hard times, is we have a living hope. The best is yet to come. We realize that in Jesus Christ our Lord, that we will spend eternity with Him in a place called paradise. So our hope is alive. That's what they saw. That's what they had. A hope that endured. The next thing that we see as we look at it, I'm going back up to the first verse. Paul, Silas, and Timothy. You say, well, what are you talking about? Every strong church, God has to send strong leadership. But this is the most important thing. This is the most important thing. When God sends strong leadership, the people are willing to follow. Because you can have strong leadership, but if the people aren't willing to obey and follow the Lord, it doesn't matter what He does. It doesn't matter what He does. It doesn't matter how good He can preach. It doesn't matter what He does. What happens is, when God brings, who did He bring? Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Okay, now you come on down here. I want to read something to you. Okay, go to verse 5. Verse 5. Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You have to have people that aren't afraid to preach the word. To preach the word with conviction. To preach the word, I've always said, with passion. If I'm not passionate about what I believe in, how do I expect you to be passionate about what I believe in? If I'm not, don't have conviction about what I believe in, how can I expect you to have conviction about what you or I believe in? So Paul, Silas, and Timothy, what? They preached the word. They said, they not only preached the word, but they preached the word in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, people have asked me before, especially when I started out in the ministry as a young preacher, and I was going to school at Mid-Continent, and I would talk to other preachers that were in school there, and they would ask me, they'd say, well, don't you really get nervous and get sick before you preach? He said, sometimes we throw up before we go out to preach. We're so nervous. And I said, no. I said, I never have. I don't guess I ever will. May get sick, but that's not why I'll be sick. This is what I have realized in my life, and I think we could say the same thing for the other pastors that have been here too. When I stand and obey God and preach the word of God as it is with conviction and power, I become something unique. Because it's actually not me, it's Him. Otherwise, I'm just ordinary Joe. There ain't anything unique about me. There ain't anything special about me. I'm just like you or anybody else. I'm just an old country boy from Massac County. Nothing special about me. I'm just ordinary as it can be. But if God has called you, and God has prepared you, and you let the Spirit of God work through you, it's not who you are, it's who He is. And you become something unique as a vessel that God can speak through. They say, well, you use your notes, don't you? Sometimes. Sometimes I say things that I didn't even know I could say. Or I would say. Many times I've changed my sermon when I got in the pulpit. And I didn't have any notes. It's not the preacher. It's the one that calls the preacher. And they had called Paul, Silas, and Timothy. So the word did not just come from them. The word came from God the Holy Spirit. And the word was empowered. What did he say? But the word came to you with power and the Holy Spirit. I learned a long time ago I couldn't do anything. And if you know that, that's the best place you can possibly be. Because you don't rely on yourself. You rely on the one that called you, the one that saved you. And when you speak, let Him speak, not you. I don't know if He's here Wednesday night or not, but I didn't know He was going to have all the youth in here with us too. They filled up a whole pew. But I was going to teach on the church anyway. And so when I saw them in here, I thought, well, I'm just going to make them part of what we're doing. And I scared half of them to death, but I thought, this is good for them and good for me. And so I made sure I included them. But I had no clue they were going to be in here, so I didn't know what I was going to say before I came in to teach and saw them in here. So I just let the Lord lead me. And that's what you have to do. Because you have to realize that all you are is an instrument. You are a vessel. You are an instrument. There's nothing unique about yourself. But always there's something unique, powerful, about the one that called you. And when you just let go and let the Spirit of God lead you, and the power of God go work through His Word, God moves people. And his word moves people. And the Spirit of God moves people. You don't. Thank God you don't have to worry about that. You just submit yourself to the Spirit of the Holy Spirit and let God work through his word. Good things always happen. Always happen. Okay. So they had strong Bible preachers. Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Okay. Characteristic of a great church. All right. Now then, number five. Look down here. He said, you know that how we lived among you for your sake, you became imitators of us and of the Lord in spite of severe suffering. They became imitators of Jesus Christ. Now, every time I think about them becoming imitators of Jesus Christ, I remember sitting in my office back here as senior pastor. And I remember there was a fellow always sat right in front of me there, usually when we had a deacon's meeting or anything going on. And most time he wore a cap. And on that cap, it said right across the front of it, what would Jesus do? And I'm looking at that cap and I'm thinking, yeah, that's what we all need to be thinking about. That man was Ed Douglas. Ed Douglas, one of the best friends I ever had. He was an imitator of Jesus Christ. Imitator of Jesus Christ. I look at Jana back there. I think about her dad, Don. Don would always get here. Remember where the offices wasn't back here and that was Fellowship Hall? Remember that, some of you? You got to be here a long time. See, I've been here since Noah. So you got to remember that I've been here a long time. But Don would always get here before anybody else. And that was a kitchen back there then, and I would have made coffee. And we'd sit around the table and visit and talk together over a cup of coffee. And we'd make fun of each other. We'd make fun of each other and crack jokes and talk about a lot of things. Don was an imitator of Jesus Christ. I had a lot of fun with that man, and Ed and Roy and Brinkers. I remember my dad sat right along in here by where Jerry is. And I had to always watch him because he'd talk to a telephone post. And whoever was sitting next to him, he'd talk to them the whole time church going on. It's like me and Sheila. And I'd say, Dad, you can't do that. You can't talk to everybody like that when church is going on. You know, my dad loved the Lord. So many men and women that I think about over the years, they labored, they served, they loved, they endured, and they were imitators of Jesus Christ. You see, that's how this church got here. Not because of me, but people just like that. People. And we've got people in this church today just like that. Just like that. And God is going to send us a strong preacher. And when he gets here, we're going to help him. We're going to help him. What he doesn't know is we're going to teach him. We're going to teach him how God builds a great church like he has Waldo Baptist Church. And he's going to help us because God has sent him here. They became imitators. All right, now this brings my next one, and I've already kind of talked about it. What does it say? They had joy. You welcomed the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit. They had joy. You know what? I wouldn't give you a hoot and a holler for a church you couldn't have fun in. When I think about joy, I think about John Holmes. Somebody said, asked me one time, said, you think John's going to heaven? I said, yeah, if he don't run past it. That man was full of joy, wasn't he? He was full of joy. We'd be driving down the road, and he'd be seeing some guy come down the road, and he'd make a turn, but he never did take his blinker on. John say, everlasting bulbs. What did he mean? He mean they never use them. They'd last forever. Oh, he had all kinds of sayings he'd use. Sometimes we'd sit and talk. I'd say, John, when church starts and the choir starts singing and the Spirit of God starts moving, let's just get up and start running around church. You know what scared me? I knew he'd do it. I knew he'd do it. Folks, let me tell you something. Church ought to be a place where people rejoice in the love of God, in the power of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in one another. If you come into a church and you don't hear people talking and laughing and enjoying one another, there's something wrong with that church. There's something wrong with that church. If you don't see people having joy in God's family, where in the world are you going to have it? They had joy. They had joy because they all welcome the Spirit of God into their midst when they gather together. And the first bell's rung, I know, but I'm going to get these other three in real quick. And they were an example. It says, so you became a model or an example to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Okay, so they became an example. Waldo Baptist Church should be, could be, can be an example of how God builds a church and how God uses a church to glorify His name and to reach people with the gospel. Becoming examples. Ever since I've been here, there have been men and women that have served in this church that have been examples for me. I've looked at them and I've said, I wish I had that characteristic in my life. I wish I had that characteristic in my life. And so we are examples for each other. And the church becomes an example for the other churches. And it becomes an example for the world to see that Christ is in us. So they became examples. And then they were a strong witness. It says, the Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith in God has become known everywhere. One thing I enjoy is telling people where I go to church. They say, well, where are you a senior adult pastor at? I say, Waldo Baptist Church. They say, we've heard good things about that church. And I thank everybody and his brother that's old that came to the power team because I run into people all the time that knew somebody that was saved there or came to the service here or whatever that we had. So then, and number nine, they had a loyalty that submits. And that's what you see when you do. We do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves will report what kind of reception you give us and tell how you turn to God from idols to serve the true and living God. And so that's the next thing. They had a faithfulness and a loyalty to God's church and what was it, what they were doing. Then the last thing, and to wait for the Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. A great church is a church that not only knows, but looks forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. not only knows he's coming, but looks forward to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight I'm going to teach on the rapture. And so I'm going to teach on, well, you just have to come see. I'm going to teach on 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Thank you for the glasses, Sharon. 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And I'm also going to follow this message that I'm doing on the church and also on prophecy and the future prophecies that are next to be fulfilled. Okay? Pray. We're late. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to teach your word, to share together for the love of Jesus Christ. Thank you for so great a salvation. Pour out your spirit on Brother Trad and the service to follow. We pray that if there's anyone lost, they might be saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving our wretched souls and making us a child of God and making us a family together that we can serve you and enjoy one another and look forward to heaven where we'll be together throughout the ages of the ages of the ages.